Good morning, and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Wednesday, April 10th. On today's show, DataSnipper launches two new suites, transforming audit and finance with AI. Plus, we'll discuss the new tax rules to expect this financial year. And Reggie Brown, finance leader, art collector, and patron, shares his thoughts on supporting the arts. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with some exciting news in the world of finance and technology. DataSnipper, an intelligent automation platform for audit and finance professionals, has just unveiled two new product suites after raising $100 million at a $1 billion valuation. The Advanced Extraction Suite and Cloud Collaboration Suite aim to boost productivity and reduce risk in an industry grappling with high attrition, remote work challenges, and error-prone manual tasks. For more, we turn to our Simply Finance correspondent. What can you tell us about these new DataSnipper offerings?
The Advanced Extraction Suite leverages AI to enable large-scale data extraction from unstructured documents. It can automatically detect, extract, and cross-reference data from any document format, including invoices, receipts, and contracts. This streamlines workflows and allows audit and finance professionals to focus on discrepancies and more strategic work. Early customers are reporting up to a 70% efficiency boost.
And what about the Cloud Collaboration Suite? How does that change the game for audit and finance teams?
The Cloud Collaboration Suite introduces real-time, online access to work papers, enabling seamless team collaboration through any web browser. A key feature is the WebSnip extension, which allows users to snip data directly from web pages into Excel, enhancing the credibility of evidence with captured URLs and timestamps. The suite also includes automatic document cross-referencing capabilities for clear documentation trails and easy review.
It sounds like DataSnipper is really harnessing the power of AI and automation to transform the audit and finance industry. How are professionals responding to these tools?
The response has been very positive. In fact, 74% of DataSnipper's customers trust AI to deliver quality to their roles, and 83% say they are more likely to stay at their firm if they can use AI tools to enhance efficiency. With over 500,000 audit and finance professionals using DataSnipper across 125-plus countries, including all four of the largest global auditing firms, it's clear that intelligent automation is the way of the future for this industry.
Fascinating insights. Thank you. It will be interesting to see how DataSnipper's new product suites continue to shape the audit and finance landscape moving forward. And speaking of finances, a new tax year has begun in the UK, bringing with it a range of changes to allowances for savings, investments, and pensions that could impact people's finances. Here to break down the key tax changes is our correspondent. So what are some of the most significant new tax rules this financial year?
Well, David, there are quite a few notable changes. First, the good news is that the Chancellor reduced the national insurance rate again, down to 8% from 12% previously. The Treasury says this will save the average employee earning £35,000 around £450 per year. So many workers may have already noticed a bit more take-home pay in their recent paychecks.
That's certainly welcome news for taxpayers. But I understand there are also some allowance reductions and freezes that could lead to people paying more tax overall.
Yes, that's right. The capital gains tax allowance when selling an asset has been cut significantly, from £12,300 last year down to just £3,000 now. The tax-free dividend allowance on income from shares has also been halved to £500, so investors may face the prospect of higher taxes on their investment income much sooner than before.
What about ISAs? I know they are a popular way for people to save and invest tax-free. Any changes there?
The overall £20,000 annual ISA allowance remains unchanged. But under new rules, savers can now open more than one new cash or stocks and shares ISA in the same tax year, rather than being limited to one of each. The hope is that this flexibility spurs more competition among ISA providers to offer better interest rates to attract savers. However, the change is optional, and many providers say they aren't ready to offer multiple ISAs yet.
Lastly, I have to ask about pensions, as they are such a crucial part of many people's long-term financial plans. What's new on that front?
The lifetime allowance. That's the maximum you can save in pensions over your lifetime without incurring extra taxes, has been abolished entirely. Previously, it was set at just over £1 million. The annual pension allowance has also increased by 50% from £40,000 to £60,000. So in theory, people can now save more into pensions without running into those tax charges. The age at which you can access private pensions will rise from 55 to 57 by 2028, though.
Thanks for that rundown of the new tax rules for this financial year. Certainly a lot for people to factor in as they review their finances. Shifting gears, today we're taking a closer look at the fascinating life story and influential career of Reggie Brown, a prominent figure in both the world of finance and the contemporary art scene. Brown, who calls himself a market maker, serves as board chair of Creative Capital and vice chair of PAFA's Board of Trustees, in addition to being an avid art collector and patron. Our correspondent sat down with Brown to explore his unique journey and perspective. What can you tell us about Brown's early life and influences that set him on this path?
Reggie Brown's story is deeply rooted in Philadelphia, where his great-grandparents, born at the turn of the 20th century, achieved middle-class success through real estate ownership, a significant accomplishment for a working-class black family at the time. Brown's grandfather was one of the city's first African-American firemen, while his grandmother worked as an Avon manager. Growing up, Brown was instilled with a strong work ethic and financial prudence by his family. His grandmother, in particular, was a student of the markets and encouraged him to invest in companies he knew and used, like Apple. This early exposure sparked Brown's interest in finance.
It sounds like Brown's family played a crucial role in shaping his values and ambitions. How did he begin to pursue a career in finance?
At age 11, Brown expressed a desire to buy stocks, but his parents discouraged him. However, his passion for finance persisted. As an Eagle Scout, he attended a session at the Union League's Boys Life Foundation, where he wrote down his aspiration to become a stockbroker. At 15, Brown landed his first summer job at the Philadelphia Stock Exchange, where he continued to work every summer until graduating high school. He then attended LaSalle University at night while working full-time at the market, valuing the relationships he was building. Brown's formative experiences in the markets, including witnessing the 1987 crash, shaped his understanding of economic principles and what it meant to be an American.
Brown's early entry into the world of finance is remarkable, but how did his interest in art develop alongside his career?
Even as a young professional with limited means, Brown's appreciation for art began to emerge. While living on his own in Germantown, he would visit museums and purchase posters to frame and display in his home. Gauguin posters, in particular, made him feel like somebody, despite having zero money. This early engagement with art marked the beginning of Brown's journey to becoming the influential collector and patron he is today.
Reggie Brown's story of determination and passion, intertwining the worlds of finance and art, is truly inspiring. Thank you, Michael, for sharing this fascinating profile. Speaking of finance, let's shift our focus to France, where the state's finances are deteriorating as the country misses its target on cutting the deficit. The finance ministry is set to raise its deficit target for 2024 to between 5 and 5.1% of GDP, up from an original target of 4.4%. This comes as France's public deficit stood at 3 trillion euros at the end of 2023. Making it one of the most indebted countries in the EU. For more on this, we're joined by our correspondent. What's behind this rapid deterioration of France's state finances?
There are a few factors at play here. First, France has a long history of high government spending, which has contributed to its high levels of public debt. The country has struggled to rein in spending and implement necessary reforms. Additionally, the COVID-19 pandemic has taken a toll on the economy, leading to increased government expenditures to support businesses and individuals. Now, with the deficit target being revised upward, it's clear that France is facing significant challenges in getting its fiscal house in order.
The article mentions that President Emmanuel Macron and Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire are at odds over how to address this issue. What are their differing perspectives?
According to the report, Finance Minister Le Maire is pushing for stronger budget cuts and is opposed to any increase in income tax. He believes that significant spending reductions are necessary to bring the deficit under control. On the other hand, while the exact position of President Macron is not specified, the disagreement suggests he may be less inclined to pursue such aggressive cuts. This internal debate highlights the political challenges in implementing austerity measures, especially given France's history of public resistance to such policies.
What steps is the government considering to tackle the deficit problem?
The government is reportedly looking at several options. They are considering a further freeze on government spending, which would limit the growth of expenditures. Additionally, they are exploring the possibility of increasing the tax on energy companies' profits. This would aim to boost revenues without directly impacting individual income taxes. Lastly, there's a potential freeze on some Social Security spending, particularly in the area of health insurance. However, such measures are likely to face public opposition, as they could be seen as austerity policies that impact social programs.
France is under pressure to show it can avoid a budget crunch that puts its credit ratings at risk. What's the outlook for bringing the deficit back under control?
Officially, the French government maintains the objective of bringing the deficit below 3% by 2027. However, most economists are skeptical about the feasibility of this target. France has consistently struggled to control its spending and has faced public backlash against austerity measures in the past. The fact that the deficit targets for both 2024 and 2025 have been revised upward suggests that the path to fiscal stability will be challenging. France will need to demonstrate a credible plan to reduce its deficit and debt levels to maintain the confidence of credit rating agencies and financial markets.
Thanks for the report on France's fiscal challenges. It will certainly be a situation to monitor closely in the coming months and years. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.